fans, it's time to come together at Abby's Pizza for a legendary hour with your caveman football team. We're eating legendary pizza and talking all things caveman football. Presented by the Insurance Lounge, your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs. Stop by for your free quote. Insurance Lounge. Insurance simplified.
Welcome to Abby's Pizza, ladies and gentlemen. Just heard it here. This is the Insurance Lounge Caveman Corner, brought to you by Abby's Pizza tonight. And when I say brought to you by Abby's Pizza, they have just delivered to our table here with this giant 16-inch bacon cheddar pizza. And you can come in and join us with that pizza. Only $26.99 tonight. We want to thank Abby's, both the Beacon Drive Abby's and the Williams Highway Abby's. They have been a longtime sports sponsor here on KAJO Radio. Underneath our corporate umbrella of the Insurance Lounge, Abby's has stayed with us, and there are lots of other people there. Thank them if you have a chance to do business with them. Just thank them for their support of Caveman Sports. Now, just a couple of words about what's going on tonight. This is the very first program there, and we're in competition with another significant program that's going on with Caveman Football, actually at the high school. This is the Grants Pass Caveman Athletic Hall of Fame night. That dinner is going on as we speak. So Coach Matt Kennedy will be a little bit late tonight. We expect him in here about at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, though, we think we can keep you entertained and certainly informed on what we expect for Caveman Football. Caveman Football, of course, kicks off tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Mel Ingram Field. We'll be on the air live with all the play-by-play. All you hear the pads popping right here on the radio. We'll get underway about 6:30 for that 7 o'clock kickoff. And we welcome what? Well over a 100-year rivalry, the North Medford Black Tornado, going to be on Mel Ingram Field. It's going to be a raucous night, folks. We hope you'll join us there. In the meantime, though, we do have a guest tonight, a longtime broadcast partner here. Zach Morin has joined us here. Zach's a longtime caveman, played for the caveman football team, I believe, under Blanchard. You played under Blanchard as a quarterback here. So once a caveman, always a caveman here. Incidentally, if you're talking the Insurance Lounge, it is headed by a former caveman too. Mike DeLagrange was in this morning, talked to us. By all means, if you have a chance to cross paths with him, thank him for his support of not only caveman sports, but Oregon Duck sports too. He's going to be honored in November, right down on the field, with one of the second highest honors, I think, ever bestowed on alumni there. And it's going to be sharing that night with another Grants Pass alum, I think class of 67, Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks. So lots of things happening, Grants Pass Caveman, the Ducks, and, of course, the football team. Zach, what do we know about this year's football team here? You have your eyes on it yet?
Yeah, I mean, just being around the program and being, you know, a baseball coach at the high school, you know, I get to know the kids pretty well. I think, you know, obviously we know Trayton Powers and Jordan Rosetta coming back. So you got two high-powered offensive backfield mates, essentially, coming back for the Cavemen. But on the flip side of that, you also have Brevik Hill, a wide receiver, who was kind of came out of nowhere for the
Cavemen. He really blossomed last year.
Absolutely.
He's speedy and great hands.
Yeah, so with him coming out of nowhere last year, obviously he's not going to fly under the radar like he did for the first couple of games that we got to see him. But, I mean, offensively, I think the weapons are, you know, you got Weston Berg as their backup running back.
Berg is the back, and Powers. We've got a lot of great skilled kids, but we're still young.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been saying Jordan Rosetta's name for so many years, Trayton Powers the same way. They're becoming household names, essentially, in Caveman football.
And they're still juniors.
But they're only juniors. And so, you know, building off of what they learned from last year, you know, there's a big difference between your sophomore and junior year. There really is. And then there's another big difference between your junior and senior year. What you learn, how you play, your body changes as a high school kid. So there's a lot of maturing that happens. But I think skill-wise, the Cavemen, you know, are extremely dangerous. I don't think there's another team in the league that, you know, obviously Sheldon's and some teams like that are going to have who they're going to have. But I don't think there's another team in the league that's going to surprise people the way the Cavemen do with their skill positions. With that being said, for me, I think the one question mark, you know, aside from the skill positions, is the offensive and defensive line. Is the offensive defensive line going to be able to give Rosetta and Powers the holes that are needed, especially in this tough, you know, hybrid league that the Cavemen now play in?
It's this 6A Special District 1 league, because all the, well, young is the key word here. Those offensive and defensive line, certainly young, and even if they're seniors, they're young on experience right now. It won't take long to get that experience. But we're still a little light there. We don't really have to have a heavyweight there. We don't have Michael De La Grange there.
Sure. You know, and I think in today's day and age, I don't know that size is everything anymore, you know, with how fast they get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. It's more of how quickly can a defensive or offensive line kind of get in the way, especially the offensive line. So if the Cayman offensive line is able to just give Jordan, you know, 2 to 4 seconds of time to throw the football, I think we're going to see how dangerous he can truly be. Because we did see last year, under pressure, he still struggles. But, again, sophomore to junior year, how does that change? How does the maturing, how does his whole summer going all these 7-on-7 things he's been going to all across the country, how does that maturing process really look on a Friday night on Mel Ingram? And then I think the unspoken thing that nobody really talks about is the old way of football around here where you play North Medford in week 6 or 7. We're playing North Medford week 1.
Wait, second year in a row.
Yeah,
second year in a row.
That's just, you got this huge rivalry. There's no love loss as far as between Grants Pass and North Medford. I mean, it's going to be chippy from the beginning, but that's just the way it's always been. It was that way when I played. I'm sure it was that way when Dila played.
It was that way probably 100 years ago, sure, when it started.
Sure. So, but having to deal with that week 1 and it being a league game, you only play one non-league game now, and so having to instantly battle for those automatic berths into the state playoffs, it's kind of weird to see week 1. You know, it's something we're still getting used to. I thought last year's game was very, you know, competitive. I think the Cavemen kind of gave away last year's game. I would say
final score, I think 33-28.
Yeah, and I think they would say the same thing. I think if you talk to any of the boys that were on that team last year, I think they would truly say we gave that one to North Medford. And so,
and that one was at
Spiegelberg.
Yep. At Spiegelberg Stadium over there.
Sure.
We've got them here this year. Can we flip that?
I think you flip it. I mean, honestly, there's not very many places in the state of Oregon like Mel Ingram. And obviously we are partial just because of, you know, being Cavemen to the core. But people that come in, you know, people you bring into town, when you see Mel Ingram on a Friday night, and there's that many people supporting, and there's that many people in the stands, you get the band going.
And they're closer than they are at any other
Absolutely.
Place in the state.
And not even being close, they're on top of you.
Yeah.
You know, they're above you. They're louder than you. They're right in your grill as far as that goes. And so I think there's something to be said for the home field advantage, especially week 1 against a league opponent. But in high school football and college football, you see it all the time. It's all about how do kids handle the mental moment. Because the mental moment is going to happen where something doesn't go their way, something doesn't happen. You get a 15-yard penalty because you threw a guy to the ground. How do you handle when the momentum starts to swing the other direction? I think that helps being at home. You know, when you're on the road, it's a little bit tougher to get the momentum back. But when you're at home, everybody's excited for the week 1. What's the new team going to be like? And so if the Cavemen can kind of weather some of those storms being at home, and, you know, I think you'll see Rosetta take a bigger leadership role. You'll see Powers take a bigger leadership role. But with those things in place, it's really about that mental, you know, can you stay with a four-quarter game when it's going to be hot? You know, it's supposed to be 95 degrees tomorrow. That turf holds heat, you know, for a long time. So it's going to be warm. I know the boys have been practicing on it. But when you add adrenaline to the heat, there's not much that can prepare you for that.
And somebody who's not your teammate across the line from you, adding out hits that you've not had before.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and so I'm excited to see what this new Cavemen team looks like. I think, you know, I haven't really had a, you know, full-on conversation with Kennedy since he took over, but the boys seem excited. The ones that are play baseball players especially, they seem excited. You know, I looked at the depth chart a little bit before we got on the air. The one thing that's a little concerning as far as the depth chart is we got quite a few boys playing both ways, and they start both ways. And so, you know, week 1, I mean, I think you and I mentioned cramps probably 30 times yeah. last year, week 1. So if you got guys going both ways week 1, cramps do become an issue. Even if you don't want it to, they do become an issue.
All right, that's you mentioned the momentum swings, too, and there will be several swings on that very first night just because of the unknown things or unexpected whistle. Even, heaven forbid, a slight injury, and, of course, they take all of caution in the world to avoid all those things and take care of these young players. What do we know about North Medford? They look pretty much like they did last year. They've got the same quarterback, about the same skill people. So in terms of that, we're pretty similar.
Yeah, I think, you know, what we can count on from North Medford, you can count on size. You know, their offensive defensive line is going to present maybe not the whole line, but they're going to present at least two to three kids that are just bigger than us. That's just the nature of North Medford High School. They're going to be quick at one or two wide receiver positions. The quarterback from last year's, he was, you know, he threw the ball around pretty good. But the key to stopping a North Medford team has always been stopping the running game. If you can stop their running game and win the line of scrimmage, their passing game becomes fairly irrelevant for the most part because you know you can handle it. But when North Medford has the opportunity to play action pass, play what the game they want to play, and they have played that smash mouth kind of football, and they're going to come at you, if you let them come at you and you don't take advantage of any mistakes they're going to make, North Medford's a good football team.
Well, no question. We've got two good football teams. We don't know how good yet. And when you look over this conference, well, the top 10 is coaches poll. Preseason coaches poll is out. Of course, Lake Oswego is right at the top, and they just really spanked South Medford in that early game last Thursday. But of our conference, Willamette is 7th, and Sheldon is 8th, and usually that's reversed. But Willamette has been picking up a lot of those football players from that used to be at Sheldon are now going to Willamette. So those are two to watch, and we're at Willamette next week. We won't get to that yet, but sure, that's something to always keep in mind there.
Yeah, Willamette is becoming more and more dangerous in all sports, to that matter. But the old Sheldon head football coach, Josh Line, is transferred over to Willamette. They're getting a lot of bigger kids. A lot of the coaches' kids from University of Oregon are now going to Willamette. So the talent level, you know, I know of two defensive linemen for Willamette that are, you know, scholarship athletes at the D1 level. So you start adding those types of kids into this league, and it becomes wide open, unfortunately. I mean, you know, the Sheldon of old that just ran through the league by themselves, I think is almost over, to be honest. I don't think they're going to run away with – they're still going to be good. Sheldon, I mean, we heard that last year. Sheldon's in a down year.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to see Sheldon last year in a good year. So even though Sheldon is in a maybe a down year or whatever you want to call it, Sheldon will always be there. They'll always be relevant. Willamette now is going to make themselves relevant. North Medford, because of their physicality, always relevant. South Medford, Singler finds a way to make that team good every year. They're always relevant. And so, you know, it's kind of the question marks have always been, what's Grants Pass going to do? How are they going to look? You know, and now you add those Salem teams in, and it's a complete coin flip, because I know West Salem should be pretty decent this year. South Salem always comes up with some athletes. They throw the ball around. They play like video game type of football where they just, you know, throw right, throw left, throw right, and they go as fast as they can. And then North Salem, you know, they had a down year for sure last year. You never know what they're going to be like. So the league, I mean, it appears on paper to be fairly even, except for maybe like the Willamettes and the Sheldons. I think on paper they probably look better than the rest of us.
Yeah, they're probably over and above everybody else.
Sure.
I had an earlier conversation with Bennett, with our head coach, 5 or 6 weeks ago, just looking ahead. And I said, everyone in this league is looking at a long playoff run. Well, not everybody in the league's got to get that long playoff run.
Sure.
Everybody thinks at this point they are. So it's going to be pretty competitive throughout. Or at least that's the early indications. You agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, a high school football team doesn't hit their stride until week four. Week one and two, you're still figuring yourself out. You're still, honestly, as a coach, I think they're still making their depth chart, because we'll see a new depth chart 3 weeks in a row that's completely different each week. Some positions stay the same, but I mean, the depth chart is just flowing, you know, open-ended case here. And so by week four, that's when you usually see those teams that, and it's usually Sheldon, unfortunately, but you usually see those teams, kind of the cream of the crop, come, and then everybody else just kind of finds their way into the middle. How do the Cavemen handle that? You know, new coach, another one, you know, they've kind of gone through a little carousel the last few years as far as once Musser left, it's just kind of been, you know, Coach Page
two,
game.
Yeah, 2-3 years.
And, absolutely.
And there's a new head coach.
Yeah.
Matt Kennedy. Certainly familiar with the program. He's been the offensive coordinator, 100%. Defensive coordinator, and last year was the freshman head coach, or coached the freshman team. So it's his style this year. What do you know about his style? How different is it going to be? I understand he may huddle more than going quick all the time.
Yeah, I would assume he huddles more. You know, him playing quarterback himself in high school, I think, is going, and in college for that matter, I think is going to be huge for Rosetta. I think having somebody to come to the sidelines, because I'm pretty sure Kennedy is still calling the offense. And so having somebody to come to the sideline to and talk to right away and have that instant feedback as a quarterback is huge. And I think that, you know, maybe Jordan, especially as a young kid, was kind of left out there just kind of on an island. You know, you have a good arm, go show us what you can do. That doesn't usually work as a freshman or a sophomore. And Jordan did a great job last year. But when Kennedy, I think, can add the mental part of the game with Jordan and read a defense and know how to truly look at what he's looking at and watching film and things like that, I think that will help Jordan in the process. Because as a high school football player, you're going to throw interceptions. You're going to make mistakes. That's part of being a kid. But having somebody on your side that can tell you, here's what you should have been looking at, here's what you should have seen, here's what I saw, and then you go make that adjustment, I you can't trade that.
You played quarterback for the Grants Pass, Caveman, and your coach was a previous quarterback himself. Is that the same situation that we see happening here? Jordan's coming in here. He's got 2 years behind him now. Do we still look at him as an underclassman, as young, or is he the veteran, just needs a little polish?
No, I think now Jordan has stepped into that veteran role, probably a leadership role as well. We know the tools are there. I mean, we got to watch his arm all year last year.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
He's a special player. He's got special players around him as well, which is really fun to watch. But I would consider him a veteran at this point. And so it'll be fun to watch his maturation throughout the year. Because even from week one to week nine, how much he changes will be, it'll be fun to watch.
Well, we'll find out here momentarily, because I think we got a special guest headed our way momentarily. So I think the coach has just arrived here. So hang on, folks. We've got a lot more coming for you. We'll take just a little breath here, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Caveman Corner live from Abby's Pizza. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Tired of the insurance runaround? At Insurance Lounge, we do things differently. Open 7 days a week. We make it easy to get coverage when it works for you. Our licensed agents? Non-commissioned. That means no pressure, just honest advice tailored to your needs. And as an independent broker, we shop multiple top carriers to find the best value on home and auto, Medicare and health, even help with retirement solutions to protect your hard-earned savings. With 4 locations in Oregon, visit your local stores in Grants Pass or Medford today. Your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs.
School's back, but this is the kind of math we like. Over 100 slices of pepperoni, one giant Abby's pizza feeds up to 6 hungry people. That's A-plus value, toppings to the edge. That's been the Abby's way since forever. Now go do your homework. When someone says, bring home the bacon, we know what they mean. They want Abby's legendary bacon bacon cheddar pizza, loaded with country bacon and packed with Canadian bacon. On sale now at Abby's.com. This month, bring home the bacon at family-owned Abby's.
Oh, we just got a bite of that bacon bacon cheese. Oh, and it is, what's the way to put it? Good. All right. And stepping up the table, here he comes. Coach, sit down.
Right.
We've got pizza. We got a microphone. See, you grabbed the little fluid there to wash down. First of all, how is the Hall of Fame going?
It's going great. Good turnout. I mean, it's a little hot in that room, but people are enduring, I think, pretty well. And it's just a cool thing that the school does. It happens this year to coincide with kind of opening weekend, so there's a lot going on at the high school right now. But there's some good energy. And
I was going to ask about the energy. I bet it's sky high right now.
It is, yeah. There's a lot of good energy, which is fun.
We're talking about the Hall of Fame. Let's just run some names out there. First of all, there is the 1964 state championship team. Mr. Blanchard is part of that one, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Rex Brenner, that basketball player. Coach Curry Clark with the Royalettes. A couple of people I don't know. Oh, Tara Carlson. Could fly like the wind. Gary Van Coten. Jody King. And the 1947 championship track team.
Yeah.
Anyone from 1947 there?
Because
I know how old they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine there's probably a few. I didn't get it. It was a big, big crowd, so it was hard to get a sense of everybody there. But
all right, well, now let's get down to the business at hand.
All right,
Coach Matt Kennedy, how's your team?
We are excited to get out there and play somebody other than the blue and white.
Yeah. Okay. So. All right, looking forward to someone in a different colored uniform.
Yes.
All right. You have a mantra that better than before.
Yeah.
And there's a great story behind it. And if you don't mind, would you share that with our listeners?
Absolutely.
It's a great story, and I think they need to hear it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I it all came from a few years ago. I took a year off from coaching the year that Coach Musser resigned, and that I was already making that same decision because my wife's sister was passing away, or battling cancer that she ended up passing away from. And I gave the eulogy at her funeral and struggled for weeks to come up with what to say about this woman. And I ended up with the refrain, "Better than before." And it captured that she lived her life in a way that was constantly seeking personal improvement. I mean, she was learning languages and picking up new hobbies and constantly trying to grow as a person. And simultaneously always trying to leave the people and places that she went better than they were before. I mean, in her last year, as she's battling cancer, she was managing a nursing staff at the hospital and committed to making sure they could all become the best nurses they could. And so when I took over coaching the freshmen a few years ago, I got permission from my wife and my mother-in-law to use that refrain as our team slogan. So the last couple of years we've been doing it with the freshman team, and then this year taking over with the varsity. That message to the boys that, look, if you guys can on a daily basis strive to become better than you were before, and that can be very measurable in a football weight room or on the football field, but we're also carrying that message into the classroom and as brothers and sons, et cetera. But equally importantly, remembering that when we leave this earth, or let alone when we leave a classroom or we leave a field, we want to make sure that we left that place better than it was before.
So it translates well into a football team. Is it a team spirit building thing? Is it a brotherly thing? Does it really bring the kids together?
I feel like there's been the buy-in, and I tell them, guys, I mean, it's on our shirts, and it's what we say. So, guys, this can't just be empty words, right? It's not just something we chant. It's not something we say. If you're going to wear it on your shirt, you need to live it. And we make the point that it's not perfection. Right? I mean, we're all going to make mistakes, but that there should constantly be a sense of, am I making improvement and or am I making a difference?
You can relate that from one play to the next.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Now, you've taken that football team, not just on the athletic field, but around town, and elevated to make them part of the community. You've reached out to this community and done a couple of things already, and stand ready to do some more. Share that with us.
Well, yeah, I when I interviewed, I had pretty ambitious goals for what Caveman football could do, not just on the field, but in the community and off the field. And so I've established an expectation that every player needs to commit at least 5 hours of community service in order to be eligible to play, which as of yesterday, all 72 of the sophomore through seniors had done. But within that, we're trying to create opportunities, too. We went out and picked pairs to donate to food banks. We did that. I took a bus of about 25 over during daily doubles, and we did that. We've helped set up charity events and really just trying to get these kids to feel the joy that actually comes from serving. And I think as far as quantifying it, we were up over 700 hours now of community service since the spring. So
all right. And more to come, I assume.
Yeah, and that's the goal.
So if somebody out there needs some help or needs lots of bodies to do something, how do I get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. And those are one things, especially if it's a larger event where I could get 8, 10, 12 kids. During the season, it's a little bit tougher just because the kids are pretty busy. But I'm looking for those partnerships. And I met with the community and said, hey, is there any way we could partner? If there's a need that you guys have, whether you want to make a donation in exchange for it or not, let Caveman football players get out there and kind of be visible to the public as people who are doing something for the community and not just asking the community to do something for them.
All right. Well, kudos. First of all, now let's talk some football here.
All right.
Briefly, give me a synopsis of your team and what we can expect. 2 or 3 minutes worth here.
Well, we are, I think across the board, you say we're young.
Yeah.
We've got 14 seniors right now, which is on the smaller end of the class. And a lot of those seniors, a couple of them came back to football having not played the last couple of years. There's really only a handful of seniors that have varsity playing experience. We've got a handful of juniors that played as sophomores last year. But collectively, it's a young group that is really eager to get better and to work. And that's one thing that stood out amongst these coaches is how how many questions they ask and the effort that they're given, and it's a clear desire to see that better than before, if I go back to that refrain, but to grow and to become the football team and players that they want to be.
Overall strength of this football team?
I'd say we have a plethora of pretty talented skill position guys on really both sides of the ball, but offensively there's a pretty scary two deep at really every position that should pose some problems. I mean, that's the goal, is that we create some matchup problems for opponents with the ability to not really just focus on one guy, but we'll distribute it to somebody else if that's the case. And so,
all right, with your skilled players, tell me about speed.
Again, across that board, when I say skill positions, I mean, there's some size, there's some strength, but there's also there's some quickness, there's some speed, there's some instincts, right? Some things that are hard to measure with a stopwatch or with a measuring stick, but there's some intangibles that a couple of these kids possess that, I'm excited to see them go out there and put it on display this season.
With a stopwatch, did anybody with breakaway speed yet?
It
depends on if someone's chasing them.
Yeah, we did a compete week where we measured everybody's everything, right? All their measurables after a summer of lifting, and Trey Powers ran a very fast 40 time, and he was in the low 4.6s and was pretty disappointed that it wasn't faster than that. So he's got some pretty high end breakaway speed.
All right, well, let's talk about size now.
Size, admittedly, especially going up against the North Med team that is traditionally gigantic, I don't think this week's going to be any different. I haven't seen any film of them, but I've looked at their roster, and there's some weights on there that you're not going to see on our roster.
I compared already.
but our lack of the 280-pound kid or the 290-pound kid, our linemen up front are probably leading the way in that hunger to grow and learn. It's a young group. They're pretty tough. They work pretty hard. And we feel pretty confident that we might be undersized, but we can win with tenacity. We can win with technique.
All right, we've talked about skilled players both offensively and defensively, and we've talked about a little light on the lines right now. Tell me about defense.
You know, defensively, we made a few shifts. Obviously, coming in with a new program, there's some schematic differences from the past. And a little bit of overall, same defensive coordinator. Coach Zina does a really good job of teaching, but also rallying. I mean, he's a guy that kids want to play for. And similarly, I think we have some strength in the secondary at the back end and feel confident in our ability to match up with teams when we need to. And it's going to be a growing process on the defensive line as we learn to kind of rein in. A lot of what we're preaching is discipline on the defensive line and not just pin your ears back and go. But you have a gap, you need a wall. And then you need to spill that out to a teammate who's going to go make that play. And so they made a lot of strides in the last few weeks at doing that. We prepped a lot for what we expect to see, and those kids are starting to buy in. And tomorrow night, there'll be some bumps along the way. We've talked about it. But it's a group that I think has a lot of promise. It's just going to take some live reps to kind of grow into that.
Well, we've got live reps coming up tomorrow night. North Medford Black Cornet. We'll talk a little bit more specifically about them and last year and what we can expect on Friday night when we come back. Right now, we're going to take a little break. We've got national news coming up. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass. You're listening to the Insurance Lounge, Caveman Corner. Curtis is sponsored by Abby's Pizza tonight. We're enjoying some of that Abby's Pizza tonight, Brady. Folks, it's that bacon and cheese pizza. You can come in and get it right now, $26.99 for the big one. Oh, and ours is already beginning to disappear. We'll be back. Last News is coming up right here on KAJO, and we'll be right back with more Caveman Corner.
Evergreen Federal Bank, serving our community and serving you locally. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
99.7 and 1270 KAJO Grants Pass.
I'm Tom Rigotti. President Trump is extending the National Guard deployment in Washington, D.C. despite some opposition. Fox's Peter Ducey reports.
D.C.'s Attorney General is suing the White House. They say that D.C. has been illegally occupied by the military, but the administration has gone ahead and extended the orders of the Guard troops through the end of November.
Trump says crime has gone down dramatically since he ordered the federal takeover of the Metro PD. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. sat for a Senate hearing today where he faced bipartisan criticism for recent staffing changes at the CDC. President Trump is defending Kennedy.
If you look at what's going on in the world with health and look at this country also with regard to health, I like the fact that he's different.
Kennedy highlighted his efforts to decrease chronic disease in the nation, especially those impacting children following a recent spike. America's listening to Fox News.
It's Southern Oregon's favorite relaxing spot, favorite party spot, favorite spot to meet old friends and make new ones, favorite spot to enjoy great live music, favorite spot to view Oregon's scenic beauty and the Rogue River. Obviously, it's the Galise Resort. And here's the new fall hours for you to enjoy. Galise is open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6, then Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 8, with food trucks on hand from 11:30 to 7:30, and of course, live music from 4:30 to 7:30 now every Saturday and Sunday. All week, Galise has deli sandwiches, ice cream, and cold beverages, plus plenty of great remembrances to choose from in the gift shop. Galise Resort is uniquely Oregon, and Oregonians flock to enjoy the comfortable seating, the amazing view, and the fun-loving service. Remember, lodging is available, so ask now for your fall and winter getaways. It's just 15 gorgeous miles up Merlin Galise Road, and there's plenty of time to have fun with Debbie and the crew at the Galise Resort.
Choosing a company to drill your well is a major decision. You have a lot to consider. Experience, reputation, equipment, price, and most important, the finished project. Clouser Drilling stands behind their work and guarantees material and workmanship. Quality and integrity have helped Clouser Drilling grow to be one of the largest drilling companies in the state. They provide the best overall value and make sure the job is done right.
Yeah, I'm Mal Sanford. I'm a builder, contractor. I've been using Clouser Drilling. I actually had them drill my first well in 1976. And I've been using them ever since because they've always treated me fairly and honestly. I would definitely refer Clouser Drilling to anyone because they've always done me a good job and developed the wells the way they should be, and they're as honest as the day is long.
Competent, capable, that's Clouser Drilling. Call today for a free written estimate, 541-476-7795. Clouser Drilling.
From the woods to the fields to the gridiron, Black Flag Armory is proud to support all sports enthusiasts. Outfit yourself with all the proper gear for a successful hunting season with proper accessories, scopes, cases, slings, cleaning accessories, all the popular ammunitions, plus the hard-to-find ones. Black Flag is more than hunting with everyday carry guns and accessories available on Redwood Avenue Monday through Saturday in front of the Cedarwood. Then hurry in from the field for Friday night kickoff with the Caveman.
Welcome back, everybody. We're at Abby's Pizza here for the Caveman Quarter here, just finishing up some pizza. Head coach Matt Kennedy has joined us, coming here from the Hall of Fame ceremonies. And let's get down to some brass tacks right now. All right, you've got you lost to North Medford, or the Caveman lost to North Medford opening game last year. Close game, I think 33-28 was the final score. But you've got them on your field here. Do you have something in a surprise for the Tornado?
Well... I guess we'll...
Or they're bringing in the surprise.
Well, I guess we're going to... 60 Minutes of Football is going to tell that story tomorrow night. You know, the theme I've given our mantra for this week, and we try and each week have just something that kind of sticks, is... I don't know if anybody's ever seen the baseball movie For the Love of the Game. There's a phrase where they say, clear the mechanism. And that's what the boys, that's the refrain they've heard from me all week, is that there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of excitement. This is the rivalry game. There's a lot going on. But at the end of the day, we just got to clear the mechanism and play one play at a time and see what happens.
It's a football game.
Yep.
It's still just a football game. Just a football game? Did I really say that with North Medford? Just a football game? Just a major rivalry football game.
Yeah.
All right. What do you expect from North Medford here? What are they going to throw at you offensively, defensively? What are you ready for?
Well, you know, I mean, they've traditionally been one of the bigger teams in our conference with, across the board, big physical linemen up front. We're expecting the same thing from what I've heard anyway. They've had a couple of kids move in to the area and join that group up front. So we're expecting some size up front. Last year they ran a pretty heavy dose of counter. We saw a lot of counter all year long. And so we've prepped how to take away what we hope or we expect from last year's their bread and butter. They obviously have a 3-year starter at quarterback. Mm-hmm. Great athlete. He extends plays with his legs pretty effectively. So they're going to be a handful. I mean, we put an athletic quarterback and a big offensive line and a tailback back there. They're going to do some things that'll challenge us. And we've talked, like, we're not expecting, nor can we expect, zero rushing yards, 12 passing yard shutout. It's a high school football game, and they're going to make some plays. It's how we respond to those plays on both sides of the ball, particularly defensively.
I was going to say, well, how much film do you have on a first game of the year? You don't have any, do you?
We have none. No, they did an in-house scrimmage, it looks like, last week, and instead of a jamboree. So right now we're basing it off of last year's film. Yeah.
Okay, so their tendency should be the same. They've got about, it's the same personnel, same size. Are you expecting much different from them? Is it going to be a heavy run game?
We, in our scouting report, we haven't committed that one way or another, because we said, look, we're going to expect they're going to take what works for them, and we're geared to take away what we think is what they want to run. And if they have a personnel set that we're not necessarily aware of, then we'll have to adjust to something else.
All right, let's talk about first now the Grants Pass Cavemen.
Yeah.
Let's start with the offense, which starts at quarterback. Where's your young man right now? I know he's a little heavier than he was last year by about 5 pounds.
Yeah. Jordan's had a great offseason. He's a worker. He's a kid who, I guess for lack of better words, he hasn't really gotten caught up in the press clippings, right? He's a kid who's gotten a lot of notoriety because of his successful sophomore year, but he comes to practice like he's still got to prove something and still got to earn something, and knows there's things that he can improve and work on. And I've really appreciated, I had him in class as a student, great student, and now I've gotten to coach him specifically, and just seeing kind of that humility as an athlete, despite the accolades. And he's got a live arm. I mean, he can throw the ball with some velocity and some zip, for sure.
There's no question about his athletic powers. The tools are there. The size is there. He's the typical quarterback that you could, if you could draw one up, it would be him. But he's a little more than that. At times he can be very cerebral. And as a young quarterback, I don't think that helped him, but that might be one of his power right now. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think especially learning a new offense, he's already processing it like a veteran within a system, and that isn't always the case, because it's a whole new language, a whole new read progression, a whole new coaching style, and I feel like he's adapted to that pretty effectively.
All right, running back.
Running back, we've got, we like...
You got several, don't you?
Yeah, you get that coach talk where you're like, I like my coach, my running back room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Our running back room.
The whole room.
Yeah, we like the whole room. Obviously, it starts with Trey Powers, who's returning from a pretty standout sophomore year last year. He's only gotten bigger and stronger and faster. A great instinctive football player. But behind him, we've got Weston Berg, who also got some reps last year. And battled an ankle during the summer, but has really impressed these last few weeks with his toughness and his speed and power as well. And we got another kid in Logan Eldred, who is a junior that hasn't probably been heard of much. And I don't know how often we'll call on him, but we feel pretty confident that if we needed to step down to our number three back, we wouldn't miss a whole lot.
All right. Good news there. Tell me about receivers.
Wide receiver, we've got, like I said earlier, we've got a stable of them across the board. Obviously, again, the one that coming back from last year with a lot of success.
Yeah.
We've got Brevik Hill, who had a great sophomore year. And then we've got some tall guys out on the perimeter. Cam Bowen has had a good offseason. He's probably a 6'3", plays D-end for us defensively, but he's out there on the outside. We got a great tight end, a couple of tight ends, but Nate Bassett, who had a really thrived defensively for us last year, is going to take on a bigger role offensively for us at that slot/tight end position. James Traylor is a sophomore who played for me last year, freshman football. He was our tailback last year, but we moved him to a wide receiver position also, just to get as many weapons on the field as we can. So
from the running back, who was a star running back for the freshman last year, heard a lot about him, moving him to a receiver position. How's he handling that transition?
Really well, and that was one of those things. I mean, I'd seen what he can do with the ball in his hands, but running routes and creating separation and then catching a ball that's coming in with some velocity, wasn't quite sure how that transition would occur, but he's a pretty natural athlete. I mean, he had some success last year in basketball and track as well, so he's a well-rounded athlete who's if you came out and watched, you wouldn't know that this is his first season, because middle school he played quarterback. And then he moved to running back, and then now this is his first season playing wide receiver. He's doing a great job.
All right. I always am interested to see that young phenom coming in, and suddenly, instead of playing freshman, he's playing varsity 6A level. And first hitter, too, could be crucial.
Yeah, yeah. And we've talked a little bit across the board for even the seniors. There's a lot of guys that are taking their first real meaningful varsity snaps in a football game tomorrow night. And so we've talked, and that was part of the clear the mechanism, is tune that noise out. Nerves are going to be a part of it. It's not going to be perfect, but how do you handle imperfection? And so, yeah, with James, we're recognizing it specifically with him, with, hey, there's no pressure. You're just out there having a good time. The ball's going to come your way. You're going to get a chance to make plays, but don't press. And that's kind of the message across the board, is we don't need to do anything spectacular. We just need to be really fundamentally sound, and we're going to give ourselves a chance to win a lot of football games.
Oh, okay. Well, we've talked about the offensive line. Now let's talk about defensive scheme. What kind of defensive scheme are we going to talk for the Grants Pass game in here?
Well, we're going to – you'll see us most of the time operating out of a two safety look. We're taking on a kind of a bend-don't-break defensive mentality where we want to make teams earn every yard. And we recognize that, especially in high school football, and it's one of those messages, you don't see 10-point games very often. If you're playing quality opponents, teams are scoring in the 20s. They're scoring in the 30s. But we got to make them earn it. And so what we're trying to limit is the big explosive plays that they score in two plays. Let's see if we can make a high school team effectively run 10 snaps without turning the ball over or making a mistake. And so how we handle giving up a few yards is I guess, our first test tomorrow night, in knowing that that's still part of the plan. And at the end of the day, it's only that last line into the end zone that matters.
Okay, all right. Let's see, did I read in the paper? We're looking at a 4-4.
We'll be 4-3, 4-2.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have a handful of linebackers that we'll probably be rotating in, but we'll be an even front, four man front most of the time, and we'll be in two high safeties a good chunk of the time. We have the ability to be versatile and shift guys around, and obviously run some man coverage and blitz people, but as our base defense, it'll be two safeties, four defensive linemen. And
all right, tell me about depth, Coach.
Well, depth. Again, secondary-wise, we've had a few kids, unfortunately. We lost what would have been a pretty promising player, Kingston Conley.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. For the full year.
Yeah, before there was a summer basketball dunking injury. But it, unfortunately, cost him his senior season. And he's been great. He's actually helping coach the freshmen.
Really? Good.
I tried to give him something where he felt like he was being of value. And so a couple days a week, he's going down with the freshmen. And then he's obviously still around the varsity. So we've lost a few depth guys in the secondary, but at the same time, that's a position where we feel pretty comfortable subbing some additional guys. And it's some familiar names. I mean, Brevik Hill's going to start on defense. Aiden Bath is going to start on defense. But we've got two scrappy corners, Brevik being one, and Reed Rhodes, another one. And then Weston Berg has been great. Kind of, we shifted him into that position this year, and he's really picked it up. And so we feel pretty good about where we're at in the secondary. And linebackers and D-line, we love the personnel. They lack reps, right? And so there's going to be a learning curve along the way. But to the extent that they could have maximized what they've done these last 3 weeks, we couldn't have really asked for more. So,
okay. Depth, all right. So you seem confident with it. We're looking at the depth charts. It looked like a couple of guys were going both ways a lot. Right. So what's that situation in terms of conditioning and how much can you really get out of them here, particularly early in the season?
Yeah, well, we're going to find that out.
We'll know tomorrow night, don't we?
We'll know. And we've talked again this week that, hey, first game, what wins first games is conditioning, discipline, and turnovers, right? And teams that can avoid the first game jitters of dumb penalties and turnovers, and that can be in condition, good shape in the fourth quarter. They're going to give themselves a chance. And I like where we're at. We've had a great offseason of conditioning and strength training. But we do have a lot of guys that are going to be asked to play a lot of snaps tomorrow night, especially on the offensive and defensive line. And so we're mindful of that. The tempo may be a little bit slower to try and ease with some of that. But we also want to be able, if we recognize that that might be an advantage in our favor with the size they have, that we need to be willing to push the tempo a little bit also.
So whatever we see on the field is what's going to be happening here.
Yep. Exactly.
All right. What one thing do you need to have happen in order to get a win? One thing. Wave your magic wand, Coach.
Well, I mean, I say composure.
Okay.
We need to play with composure. And that's a tough thing to do in your first game. It's a tough thing to do against your arch rival. And we preach that all week long. And try to drive home the point that if we can play with composure and allow the hard work that we put in run its course without shooting ourselves in the foot, I think we're gonna like where we're at the end.
All right, good. So early on, first mistake by either side, is that going to determine what's going on?
If it's our mistake, it better not.
Okay.
Hey, if they make a mistake and it determines the outcome, we'll roll with it. But we're trying to be mentally tough and respond to adversity. So no one play is gonna make that difference. It's when one play turns into two, which turns into four, and you start that backward slide. Momentum is a funny thing in sports. And so to the extent that our composure can control that momentum in our favor is what we're really striving to do tomorrow.
Sounds like that's been your focus here, particularly in the latter part of your preparation.
It has. Okay. Yep. You could ask him, and that's probably what that clear the mechanism motto and the discipline and the avoiding penalties is something they've heard from me all week long.
Two teams total over 50 points in that first game last year. How many points are you going to see on the scoreboard tomorrow night?
I don't know. That's a tough ask. That's a tough ask. Again, I would expect in a high school football game early on, a lot of times the advantages can go to the offense as long as, again, they're not turning the ball over. Because defense, they're getting acclimated to tackling and pad level and things of that nature. So,
is it going to take 30-plus points to win it?
I'd like to say no, right? But what the boys are going to hear from me is, it doesn't matter how many points it takes, as long as we have more than they do.
I have one more than they do.
Yep, and there might be games where it's 21-14, and there might be games where it's 63-58. Whatever it takes in that situation to pull out that victory is what we're.
Your skilled players have demonstrated over a couple of years that they can put up some points with Rosetta and Berg and Power, and your receivers are capable of putting a lot of points on the board. If you can just keep some of those other points off the board, you should be in good shape.
Yeah.
Let's take a little bit different tack right now and step back and look over the conference. We talked earlier in the summer. You and I had lunch. And you said, "Well, it looks like everybody's looking for a deep run into the playoffs. Everybody is." Is that still the case? What do you know about any of the other teams right there? Coaches poll have Willamette over Sheldon. They're both in the top 10 right now in terms of anticipation, but nobody's had a snap yet.
Yeah, there have not been a whole lot of live snaps, but I can kind of base it to the last few years I've been coaching at the freshman level and have played against a lot of these teams' freshman squads, and you combine that with the pedigree that some of these programs have, and then, like in the case of Willamette, the influx of talent that they've drawn in these last couple of years that, yeah, as I'm looking on paper, as we said over lunch, I'm like, well, I think this, yep. Pretty much every one of these teams is sitting here going into week one saying, this is a year we can make a pretty good run. So one way or another, we get through our league conference season, we're battle-tested, and we'll see where we're at.
How long will it take you to become battle-tested? Two games, three games before those young players become veterans?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say that by the time you roll into week three, it's time to stop calling yourself a rookie, and it's time to start viewing yourself as a veteran. And obviously, the more game experience you get, that continues all season and from one season to the next. But we're going to put that expectation on the kids that, like, hey, we need to grow up fast. And you've got the tools to do it. So let's have some confidence as we go into there. And don't think of yourselves as a new player. Think of yourselves as a K-Man football player that's ready to roll out there.
All right, good. Zach Morgan is still here with us, and he's just been sitting over their side. Zach, yeah, if you've got a question or two for the coach, by all means, feel free to jump in.
Yeah, so, I mean, first time being a head coach, the varsity level, have you given yourself a chance to kind of step back and take a look and see where the program is at now that you've been at it after doubles? To where is it where you want it to be? Obviously, probably not at this point, but is it going in the direction that you were envisioning when you got hired?
That's a great question, because it is tough to, in the middle of it, also have that perspective. I can say that, at least from my own perspective, I'm real pleased with the buy-in I've gotten from the players. I'm real pleased with the buy-in I've got from the coaching staff. I don't know how much of a overhaul in culture it is, but I do know that I came in with pretty clear expectations around the way this culture is going to be, and some of those kids have kind of butted up against it. But at the same time, I'm speaking mostly from a culture standpoint. I'm real pleased with where we're at, and from a player commitment standpoint, again, real pleased with where we're at. Our summer was focused a lot on culture and a lot on strength training. So scheme and technique-wise, we are perhaps a little bit behind where we would be in future seasons because, again, we didn't really start working football stuff until mid-July. And so in that sense, and the players recognize that the improvement we should see on the field should be pretty pronounced over the next 4 or 5 weeks, because we really are still learning the system. But the big belief is that when you have that culture that grounds you, I mean, that's where we had to start.
What was your summer program like? Outline that for us. You said that's where you started. You're building your culture in the summer program. From spring workouts all through the summer, what happened?
Well, I mean, we made a huge emphasis on what we do in the weight room, and that if you want to bridge the gap between Grants Pass football and some of those, you know, elite schools up north, it's got to be done in the weight room. We've got to have guys pushing weights. We got to have guys that are running with some speed. And that notion that, like, where we want to get and what it's going to take to get there, it has to start in the weight room. And obviously there's things on the field that have to take place. But so we were lifting 4 days a week, 2 hours a day, and we were getting 50, 60, 70 kids showing up for it. And saw
some
huge.
In.
They did. They really did. And saw, hopefully, what's the beginning of what we hope is years of, like, a commitment to that that will pay dividends on Friday nights.
I was doing a little comparison of stats from this year and last year in terms of weight. I know Rosetta's a little heavier. Everybody was about 4 or 5 pounds heavier. Is that all muscle?
I would hope so. Right? I mean, there really were some pretty significant gains made by a handful of kids.
One guy was shorter, but I'm sure that's a mistake.
Yeah. Smaller shoes this time.
All right. Coach, you seem very happy with the situation, with your situation, with your coaching staff, support you're getting at the school from top to bottom throughout the community. What's happened that has been a surprise for you?
Surprise? I'm not
on
sure.
On the field or off? Either one.
That's a good question. I don't know if I'd say it's a surprise. I would say it was the hope and the goal in emphasizing the off-the-field stuff with my players and community service. My hope was that the community would see that, and I feel like they have. There's been a lot of positive talk and feedback in so far as what these kids are doing off the field that, like I said, I wouldn't say surprises me, but I was wondering how that would take in the community, and I feel like it really has.
Right. Now, is there one young man in that has surprised you who has really stepped up this year that you didn't see coming?
I mean, there's a lot of these seniors that I didn't know.
As a freshman coach last year, I'm sure you probably knew them all.
Yeah, a lot of these kids I've coached and have kind of known. And there's been so it's hard to single out one kid that has really jumped out. I mean, there's some senior kids, this Reed Rhodes, who's going to probably play on both sides of the ball for us. and was elected a team captain. It was an unknown to me, and I've really been impressed with just the tenacity that he comes with. But as far as performances, there's a lot of kids that have answered the bell. And again, I can't say necessarily surprised me, because they've met the expectation, but I also had that expectation to begin with.
All right. Coach, I want to thank you very much for your time, and I know you hurried over here. And you and I are going to meet in the morning. We'll get with that when we get off the air. But in the meantime, thanks for your commitment. Thanks for your growing that culture around these fine young men. Do you have a goal for the season? I know some coaches will write down wins and losses, stick it in an envelope, seal it, and open it up in January. Anything going on like that?
And I don't. I don't. And I know it sounds cliche, but I don't have a – wins and losses aren't going to define the success, because we're a program trying to be born and rooted in process. It's another one of our four pillars. We have process, people, passion, and perspective. And I truly believe that if you can stay focused on the process, the results are going to take care of themselves. And so – and again, that's coach speak cliche. But it really is this is going to be measured by the cohesiveness that we sustain all season long, and the discipline that we play with. And if we can do those things, I feel pretty confident in what the end results are going to be.
All right. It seems to feel like right now you're very happy with that cohesiveness, that confidence, that what I call brotherhood many times.
Yeah.
That's happening with the team. It sounds like it's happening early with this team.
Yeah, and I would say it early, but it's also a product of those guys kind of locking arms all summer long in the weight room. And a lot can be done in a weight room, right? Because it's tough work, and it doesn't fully simulate the challenges that come with a Friday night. But to the extent that it's 100 degrees and our bodies are sore and we're pushing, it kind of brings guys together. And a lot of hopefully. That work we did in the weight room will show itself when things get tough on Friday nights.
Well, we'll be there Friday night. Tomorrow night, kickoff time is 7 o'clock. We'll be on the air live, folks, about 6:30 with more for you here. Both Zach and I. Zach, thanks for coming out very much. Coach, appreciate your presence all the time, and we'll look forward to every Thursday night here.
All right, yep.
We go.
I got it on the calendar.
All right, good. We'll eat lots of pizza and have a good time and put some wins up, too.
Okay.
All right. You've been listening to the Caveman Corner here on KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, brought to you by our good friends at Abby's Pizza, overseen by the Insurance Lounge. Once again, Coach Kennedy, Mr. Morgan, Rain Redfield, our engineer tonight. Thank you. And good night from Abby's Pizza.
You have been listening to the Caveman Corner, brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza from their Beacon Drive location. You are invited to join us in the Caveman Corner.
Tired of the insurance runaround? At Insurance Lounge, we do things differently. Open 7 days a week, we make it easy to get coverage when it works for you. Our licensed agents, non-commissioned. That means no pressure, just honest advice tailored to your needs. And as an independent broker, we shop multiple top carriers to find the best value on home and auto, Medicare and health, even help with retirement solutions to protect your hard-earned savings. With 4 locations in Oregon, visit your local stores in Grants Pass or Medford today. Your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs.